The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, you know what sucks?
What?
The workout programs that exist out there, they're these short-term program systems. It's like, here's your week workout. Repeat it every week. This is what you do.
Solely based off of intensity and quick results.
Have fun and look at all our nice pictures.
Yeah, at the most, the thing is programmed out for 30 days. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it takes much longer than that to build an amazing body and physique. We have the RGB bundle, which is 9 months of exercise programming. Each phase is different from the next. None of them will be repeated.
Great Gatsby, that's a lot.
You're not repeating any of them. Each phase is a workout plan in and of itself. So you're actually following MAPS Anabolic, which is like three different workouts, MAPS Performance, which is like four different workouts, and MAPS Aesthetic, which is like another three different type of workouts. All phased differently, all planned out, following in order, 9 months of expert exercise programming. You can find the RGB bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. That's combining all those MAPS programs. Huge discount. That's mindpumpmedia.com.
On the internet.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
What the hell is that? It's a fucking... Look at that. Look carefully at that. It's a carefully engineered and constructed glob of shit. Formed into a bar and made to taste like something else.
Better than smelling fish and spinach.
It's broccoli. Actually not. It's actually not better than that.
Mm-mm.
Actually, eating fish and spinach and broccoli is better for you than
no,
that.
No one said it was better. I said it smells fucking better. Well, I bet you the rest of the room appreciates me eating this.
I don't know. I'd like
have to agree with
that. I'd like to see you healthy, Adam. See, Justin just doesn't care because he knows that we have life insurance on you.
Yeah.
I want you to be around.
I'm good.
You know what I'm saying?
I got like a million, you know, if I die.
Do you really?
Probably.
From who?
Somebody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have life insurance on yourself?
Mm-hmm.
For your family?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good.
Have to,
good
man.
For you.
Yeah, I don't want
to be, Adam, do you have
I don't
life
want to be a dick.
Do you have life insurance, Adam?
Mm-mm.
You don't have any?
Mm-mm.
So if you die, it's just you leave bills?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I don't have any bills.
Who gets all your shit?
My sister.
Your sister gets all your stuff?
Uh-huh.
Dang.
I was right now.
You're not leaving me anything? I thought you said you were going to leave me something. Remember?
My shoes.
Hmm.
The one thing I don't want.
Can I get your Camaro?
I already told you the Camaro.
Yes.
What the fuck?
I win.
He gets the Camaro? Hey, and I get your shoes?
You get his shoes.
You know what's kind of funny? Like, let's say Adam dies. Just pretend for a second.
What happens?
Horrible day.
What happens when the shoes are like worth three times?
I was just going to say, like a horrible day. Everybody's horribly sad. And they're like, oh, Sal, Adam wanted to, you know, he wanted to leave you his shoes. And I'm like, well, you know, even in death, he fucks with me, but whatever. And then I go in his shoe room.
It's
and
all
I,
flowers.
And I find like a diamond encrusted like special sneaker.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I bring it to get appraised and like, oh, this is the fucking.
Oh, yeah, that's $5
This
million.
Is the limited edition, you know, yeah. Michael Jordan's butt cracks or whatever, worth $5 million.
Michael Jordan's butt crack shoes?
I don't know. I was trying to think of something that would be worth a lot of money. I was trying to think of that. Yeah. Something that makes a lot of money.
The tears of him, maybe.
What are we doing today?
Winning championships.
What are you talking about, dude?
All day.
Dude, can I just tell you right now?
Can you just swallow before you talk?
Yeah, hold on.
Fucking.
No, he's just, going to, you know.
Stop picking on
muscle
me.
Muscle his way through it.
Stop picking
with
on
his
me.
Mouth.
If
I'm
one
sorry.
More person makes a comment about my library word, too, I'm going to get fucking pissed.
No, he's.
I'm about to kill somebody.
I didn't know.
You know what?
That's a soft spot,
actually, that was really funny.
Yeah,
it was.
That was probably one of the best names we've had yet so far. So whoever that was, kudos to you.
Yes.
I don't mind getting insulted
the
every once in a while. Especially when it's intelligently done.
Yeah. Do you guys get as irritated as I do by the hypocrisy in the fitness industry by these guys, all these guys that say that they're natural, but that they're not?
You know, I try not to get caught up in that stuff because I know in a lot of the young kids, that's all they want to talk and ask about. Like, oh, is he natty?
But doesn't that piss you off, though?
Is he natty? Is he not
just
natty?
Just fucking be honest, dude.
Yeah. And, well, it's
or don't
like
say
anything.
Anything.
It's authenticity. Like I hate when people aren't being themselves.
Well,
you know?
Or don't say anything. Like,
also,
don't tell anybody
I
anything.
I also believe that that's a part of what we kind of represent to this. I think we're a new wave of fitness, and I believe that you know, when you talk about the, like, you're talking about guys that have been in fitness, like a Mike O'Hearn's been in fitness for a really long time. You know, these guys, these Joe Donnelly, these guys have been doing fitness and working out for years and stuff like that. So a lot of them have gotten caught up in like the old way of doing things, which the old way of doing things was
lying.
Get roided out of your mind, get as buff as you possibly can, and then sell supplements and tell people it was your powder that got you to look like that.
It takes.
And you can make a lot of fucking money doing that. So I don't want to...
It's always, you know,
I don't want to bash individuals or throw certain people under the bus for being like that, but I think in general that...
Not at all.
That...
We don't want to do that.
No, we don't want to do that. I'm not gonna,
off the table.
I'm not going to point out specific names or anything like that. No. But you know what it is that's how you made money in the industry, and I feel like we're trying to change that. We're trying to make it to where there's other avenues and there's other things for people to focus on. And there's other ways to go about having a successful business in fitness.
But still, there's still the kid in me that still gets like, I remember, I'll never forget when I first discovered that Arnold took steroids. Like, it was devastating.
Some people think he, you know, there's some people that still think he hasn't.
It's no. The guy even admit he even talks about it.
I know he does. Of course. There is some people now like,
okay, they'll post a picture of Arnold, be like, this is back when bodybuilding was natural.
Exactly. That people will compare like now, like, oh, it's just got out of control. Like, you know, what happened to like Arnold days when guys would get up on stage and they were naturals? I'm like, those guys weren't natural, you idiot.
Bodybuilders haven't been natural since
they
might
have been a lower dose.
Yeah, since the 1940s.
Since steroids were introduced, dude.
I remember it. I was devastated when I found out. I was a kid and he was my hero. And then I found out that he took steroids and I was shattered because I thought I could look like him with training. Yeah. And it was horrible. It was devastating.
That was the whole Hulk Hogan thing with like telling everybody it was vitamins. Eat your vitamins, kids, you know, and get strong and healthy. Yeah. Damn, those are some massive vitamins.
Yeah. You inject them in your ass.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I got over it and I'm like, whatever, not a big deal. And then I would look in the bodybuilding magazines and they would have their natural bodybuilders where, oh, this guy's all natural. I'd be like, wow, he looks fucking crazy. And then you work in the industry and then you start to meet people and then you know people that know these people or that you meet their dealers and they tell you, actually, no, that person's not natural. I know exactly what they take. Yeah.
I'm the one who gives it for him.
Yeah. And you're just like, fuck, man. Like,
oh, why? No.
And I don't care, dude. You're going to take steroids.
Oh, you're Mark McGuire's, you're Sammy Sosa's.
Well,
you know, I don't care. And I'm not perfect. You know what I'm saying? We all did our thing. But all I'm saying is, don't lie, dude. Come on, man.
I'll be honest.
Don't.
Mark McGuire is my hero forever. And he still is. And I don't even care. You know, but it was like, oh my God, he's getting huge.
Yeah, all of
it. You know, it's just like he undeniable. Was a skinny dude. He got huge. He was cranking him.
Fuck, Barry Bonds.
I was like, wow.
Well, how did Barry Bonds'
this is
head
awesome.
Grow?
Yeah. Man, he got big.
Yeah, and not only did Barry Bonds' arms grow, his head grew.
Yeah.
You notice that?
Yeah.
Like, wow, what the fuck happened to his
head?
That's
that killer HGH right there.
Well, yeah.
That's exactly what that is.
You had to sell those bobbleheads.
Well, you know, I have a different opinion with, like, you know, the Mark McGuire's, the Barry Bonds. Those guys, that's their livelihood. They were fucking, they kind of had to double down and lie, right? They kind of had to, like.
Well, they could get kicked out.
It was a cream.
Yeah. So that's a little bit different. The guys that I mean, it's the people now, like these the young bodybuilder guys that you know, post or put on their page like lifetime natural. It's like,
fucking liar.
Yeah, don't talk about it then. You know what I'm saying? If you're gonna do it and you want to try and say supplements were the thing that did it, then by all means, I'm not here to try and stop.
Just avoid the question.
Exactly. Yeah, stay away from it. And when people ask you directly, just say, I'd rather not talk about that or whatever. Avoid it at all costs. But coming out and saying that you're all natural and you're lifetime natty and stuff, it's like, come on, dude, don't do that. Like, that's worse. Because then you're sending the wrong message to these young kids that, you know, don't realize it. Because I think it's, to me, like, you know, if somebody asks a question like on my Instagram and they want to talk about like steroids, like I will avoid it. And it's not because I don't mind talking about like on the show like this where we can address it and we can talk about, because then I can explain myself on a radio show and talk in depth with it versus just back and forth on, you know, on social media. So like if somebody just straight out said like, you know, was it some dumb dick and was just like, oh, this is steroids, or oh, I bet you're taking Tren or something like that. It's like, I'm not even going to engage in that person and talk because they're just being an idiot. But, you know, if I have someone, I get people that inbox me and have legitimate questions, say, hey, I'm thinking about competing and getting into this industry and do I have to take steroids to become a pro and what's it like, and then I'll give my time and answer that person honestly and tell them my opinion on all that stuff and be honest about my usage and everything that I've been through and my experience. Like, I have no problem communicating that whatsoever. But, you know, that to come out there and one, say you're lifetime natural and say shit like that, that's a bunch of bullshit. Just stay away from it. You know,
who was that guy that person posted the video on our forum? The guy that's just like documenting all the
chest.
Oh, that's all the droids he's taking.
Boston Lloyd.
Man, and I guess he listed his cycle and what he takes, and that's fucking crazy.
Grams and grams and grams of shit.
It's definitely no different than any other disorder, bulimia, anorexia, or any type of, you know, where people cut themselves or rip their hair out or have weird, you know, disorder. It's a very it's kind of scary. It's kind of scary how far down these guys go.
Well, he kind of took. He's a
now he's being honest about it, and I got to respect him.
He's
for
a protege. A protege of what's his name? I can't think of his name.
Oh, right. You're talking about the big
yeah.
Like
one day you may. What's his name?
Rich Piana.
Yeah, Rich Piana. So he's a little Rich Piana. He's like 21 or 22 years old. I can't remember. He's in his early 20s. And I know they've been on YouTubes together and stuff and done a bunch of shit. And I know he's a big fan of Rich, or was. I don't know. I don't stay up on fucking drama. What's going on with all those guys now? I don't know if they like each other or not still, but they were, you know, they were buddies.
Real house men.
Yeah. Right. I don't know that
of
stuff.
Orange County.
But, you know, I know that he's kind of modeled a lot of his, you know, social media and talking about steroids from him. And I just think he's just kind of taking it to the extreme. Like he's gotten so much kudos for being honest and real and being upfront, like, thanks for telling us what you're doing and stuff like that. So cool. Nobody talks about it, which is a lot of what Rich Piana gets. Like, Rich Piana talks, which we've said before, someone asked about him a long time ago what we thought about Rich, and I got respect for him because he talks.
Yeah, he's being honest.
Yeah, he's honest, you know, which is far better than a majority of these knuckleheads out there. But I also think he's a little extreme, you know. Guy looks fucking weird.
That's being nice.
Yeah, he's fucking, his skin and his eyes and his face, like, he doesn't look healthy to me.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and I know he's flexible and he shows that off a lot and everything like that, which, by the way, that's fucking genetics that he looks like that. I don't think he's taking yoga 5 times a week. Like, that's, you know, just some people have that genetic flexibility, and he's kind of a genetic freak on top of taking a tons of fucking shit. And more power to him. It's to each their own. It's your body. Do what you want with it. And he talks about it openly, so I got a lot of respect for him. But I do think he looks like a fucking freak, and he doesn't look healthy. Yeah. So
just don't lie about it, man.
Yeah,
don't tell people you're natural when you're not.
Keep
so
it real.
Sell more shit.
Keep it real.
Yeah, let's keep it real.
Oh my God! Speaking of real, look at that fur.
It's real. It's big. It's gonna get you.
Queen Claw. The eagle has landed.
Chimera Claw.
Today's Quaw is being brought to you by Chimera Coffee. It's the only coffee that is infused with all natural nootropics for a cleaner, calmer, and more focused buzz without the crash. Click the Chimera link at mindpumpmedia.com and input the discount code MINDPUMP at checkout for 10% off.
It's the motherfucking Quaw.
The eagle has landed.
Quee Quaw.
Our first question is from Willsy Pooh, who is asking how to eat healthy on a budget.
This is why we have the fasting guide. fasting costs you
the
nothing.
Cheapest way to go.
Fasting has like 15 health benefits behind it, and you don't got to eat a goddamn thing.
Yeah. What a bargain!
Yeah,
no. I'm a bargain hunter.
For the price of an expensive meal at Outback, you can buy our fasting guide.
You know what? This is this is really unfortunate. It's one of my pet peeves with food. You know, it's pretty shitty that you could feed a family at McDonald's for under $30. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could take your whole family to McDonald's, feed them all for $30. You can't get yourself a fucking a full healthy dinner at like a really nice restaurant that serves organic food.
Exactly. And the other like point to that is like somebody, I'm not saying that he's in this mentality, but like somebody that asks me that question a lot of times are like, well, I'm also taking this supplement and this supplement. They're spending all this money on all these other supplements on the same point as they're like trying to lower costs on their food. And then, you know, whereas I'm trying to optimize my food and get rid of supplements.
Wow. That's a great point. I didn't even take that in consideration with this kid.
Not only that, but I'm going to call this a myth, and I'll tell you why. If you really wanted to eat healthy on a budget, it's not that hard. You could go to the it takes a little bit more work.
Farmers markets.
You could go to farmers markets. You could go to your grocery store. Go vegetables, fruits. You know, these things are cheap. Mm-hmm. You could buy some, you know, you can prepare your own food, prepare your own meat. It's not going to cost you that much. Now, can you eat out healthy on a budget? That's a lot more difficult.
Tough, yeah.
Yeah, if you want to go to a restaurant that serves you food that's prepared, that's also healthy, organic, and all that stuff, it's going to cost you more. You know, you can think, you know, your corn and wheat and, you know, dairy subsidies that make McDonald's so damn cheap. But a grocery store can be just as cheap. You can, like I said, you can go buy some broccoli. You could buy some, you know, some fish. You could buy tuna fish if you want. That's cheap as hell. Chicken's inexpensive. You could cook it up and there you go. You've got yourself a healthy meal. So it really just takes a little bit of priority. It's not expensive to eat healthy. Eating out healthy is a different story.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Cause that's how I was thinking. I'm thinking like if I go to Whole Foods or go to a place like that where I go pick up a lunch or a dinner, like, you know, you're spending a good 20-30 bucks just for your own personal meal for something that a good size.
And here's the other thing you want to consider too when it comes to your food. Of all the things that you invest your money on,
that's how I feel.
You know, if you prioritize those things into where you should put your money to get the best quality, to get to, you know, be able to choose where you spend this money, food is near the top. It should be near the top. Again, if you're not eating out, if you're eating out all the time, you're going to spend a lot of money. But if you're not eating out and you still spend a little bit more because you want to make sure that the food is sourced well, it's organic, it's, you know, fits your nutrition profile, it's okay to spend a little bit more on food. It's going to save you money in the long run. It's going to save you money in the short run. Shit, you're going to be sick less. Your doctor bills will be less. Mm-hmm. I mean, diabetes is becoming an epidemic, and it's an expensive epidemic. You look at the amount of money people spend on their health insurance and going to the doctor. It's ridiculous. It's expensive being overweight. It's expensive being unhealthy. It feels horrible. You're less productive at work, so it's expensive on the back end too. You earn less money because you're unhealthy, because you have less stamina, because you can't sleep as well, because you can't move as well.
You know,
so eating healthy saves you money.
You know, to piggyback off of both of you said, I think they're great points. Justin is right that, you know, a lot of people that ask this question are taking protein bars and shakes and artificial shit and supplements, like wasting money on that type of stuff. And then the other thing is over consuming protein, because protein is the most expensive piece of everything eating healthy.
Yeah.
The most expensive piece is the protein. And are you still consuming, you know, 1 to 1.5 to 2 grams of protein per pound of body weight? And if so, there's your first way of cutting back or saving money is lay off all the protein. And it's most certainly if you're still buying bars and shakes and wasting your money on processed fake shit that probably don't even have half the protein in it, you're definitely burning money. So those two ways alone could save you money. Then, like Sal said, you know, going to like a good place to, you know, go into your grocery store and buy your meals. I mean, it does. It takes a little time, takes a little work and discipline. But if health is your priority and that's important to you and you are on a budget, it most certainly can be done, you know?
It can. I mean, okay, let's look at carb sources, okay? You want to eat carbohydrates. Yams, potatoes, rice, cheap as fuck. Inexpensive.
Yeah.
Vegetables. You can get vegetables inexpensive. You can get fruit inexpensive. Protein sources, chicken is inexpensive. Tuna fish is inexpensive. There's sales on beef all the time at the grocery stores that you can find.
Well, I wouldn't go as far to say as those things are inexpensive. Dude.
When I say expensive,
chicken and steak and organic meat is not cheap.
If you keep your eyes peeled, there's sales all the time. I go to Safeway all the time, and it'll be way
like
less
an orange.
Yeah, I mean
that's how peeled I am.
I'm peeled too, bro. I'm peeled. I don't see no sales
like
on fucking meat, dude. Yeah. Meat is
you would be surprised. Well, Costco, go to Costco. Costco, you can get organic chicken and beef.
Well,
a lot less.
Listen here, baller. It's still expensive for a college student who's going to. It's not cheap. Every time I go to Costco, because that's where I shop. You know, Costco, Whole Foods, and Safeway are my three places. It's a $300 bill. That's not cheap, dude. It's not, and most everything I'm getting is everything you literally just listed. All I'm getting is fruits. All I'm getting is maybe some rice, some sweet potatoes, yams, things like that, lots of vegetables, and basically meat. But I am getting organic meat, and organic meat already is more expensive than frozen fucking Foster Farms or whatever like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
so.
But if you looked at the list of priorities in terms of what you should look for in your food to be healthy, I hate to say it, organic falls under. Are you eating the right amount of calories? Do your macros, you know, balanced? Are you eating whole natural foods? And then organic kind of comes towards the bottom.
Okay.
So if you're trying to save money, but you're eating whole natural foods, you're going to do okay without going organic. Organic is another level that I would say you should.
Let's talk about that for a second, because I wanted to make a point with someone with that too. That's a really good point. So I think there's priorities of what I get organic versus not too.
Yeah, for sure.
So things that are more susceptible to like pesticides that you would like for like a strawberry.
Yeah
you
big
eat
one.
Yeah, right? Strawberries or fruits that you eat the skin and you bite the whole thing that aren't, there's no protective cover of it.
That's true.
That would be, I'm more apt to get my organic there. And if I was going to skip on something else.
Well, like avocados, you don't need to get organic.
Exactly.
They have a very thick skin that you prevents don't eat, the pesticides or whatever.
That you don't get. Exactly. Yeah. So there are foods that's something to think about. Think about, you know, when you consume this food, do you bite right through it, or is it something you got to peel, or something that you have to crack open? If you have to crack it open or you have to peel it, that might be something I save a few bucks on and not go organic because I was trying to save it. Now, mind you, I'm always trying to go organic, but if I'm fighting with anybody, it's Katrina. She's always trying to save a dollar, and there's nothing that pisses me off more than when I get home and I see that we saved $75 on our groceries, but it's because we got everything that wasn't organic. Mm-hmm. So for me, like you mentioned before, it's about, you know, it's what we fuel our body with. So I'm willing to spend the extra money for that. But those are some strategies for you on, you know, if you had to make a decision like, okay, I can't afford everything organic because I can get really expensive, or I can't afford to go to Whole Paycheck and grocery shop there. So I got to go somewhere else.
I wonder if you could start a GoFundMe meat campaign. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you what.
Try it out.
I'll tell you what. Stop eating out. Prepare all your foods. Even though they're healthy, organic, you'll save money.
You're right.
You will.
You're right.
TaylorMade 78. Does vascularity mean anything other than just being lean?
Yeah, I can tell Adam picked these questions today.
I'm so vascular.
Well, yes, it does. It does mean more than that. They will surface when the body is trying to cool, right? So they'll submerge when they're trying to stay warm. So when we're really hot. Which is why you notice like when we're in the gym working out hard and sweating, or you're in a sauna or it's like 100 degrees outside, you're really vascular. That's your body trying to cool the blood off by your veins surfacing and coming to the surface. So vascularity could mean that. It could deal with genetics, could be lean, and it could be that. Can you think of any other one?
I mean, hydration, I'll notice if because I don't eat carbohydrates a lot, when I do eat them, I'll notice vascularity start to come out. That has to do with, you know, being hydrated, sucking in more water. Does it mean anything? I don't know. There's not much you can tell. I mean, there's definitely vascularity that has to come from things like that, varicose veins and those types of things that don't necessarily mean much other than being a kind of an eyesore.
Yeah.
And so people will get treatments
for
that.
What about my spider veins?
Yeah. I mean, you can get more of those theoretically because you're, you know, not moving and standing like people who used to work at stand desks all the time, or work at, you know, like at registers.
Well, I have a question.
They're more likely
about
to
that.
Get those
with, you know, how people wear compression
yeah.
socks and all that to try and prevent. Does that really help?
I think it will reduce the amount of pressure that goes to those veins, and so it keeps them from getting that way. I don't know. That's a good question.
How would compression keep?
People who have varicose veins or painful varicose veins, they'll be told to wear compression socks.
Or preventatively, if like it's in your family, you know, some people wear those at work.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, who would be a good person to ask would be the doctor that we had on the show. He was a vascular surgeon.
Hmm.
So he'd be good to ask some of these questions. But vascularity, for the most part, as you get leaner, it comes out more.
Which I would say is the main part, right? Like somebody who's like, who wants more vascularity, I would.
It's usually guys too. I never, for the most part, I never had a woman be like, "Oh, I want to be more veiny."
Some girls do, especially nurses. Nurses dig veins.
Ooh, I love veins.
Yeah, nurses dig.
That they want to get veinier.
Yeah,
they want veiny.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, they do.
It creeps me out.
I like them. I'm a fan. But a lot, I would say, the two big ones, wouldn't you say, is genetic and lean, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you genetically are more vascular than the average. I am somebody who has always been pretty vascular. Even when I'm at a high body fat percentage, I still can see a lot of my veins. And then when I get lean, it gets really crazy. Mm-hmm. So,
do you get any of them across your torso?
Of my abdominals?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I get really, I get two, that's funny too, you say that, because there's when I know I'm getting really lean, I can see the first one, and then I have a second one that starts to show itself on my lower abdominals when I start to get down to about 5% body fat.
Yeah, so. That same here. I'll see some of my abs, and then I have some come across my shoulders. Yeah,
I'll just see one, you know, my main vein.
Oh God,
you know what I'm saying? Boom.
Let's go to the next question. Fuck.
R. Tyler Farrar, when are you guys going to write a book?
That's a great question. We should all guess the book that each of us would write. You know what I'm saying?
If we were to write a book?
Yeah, like what would be the book? Okay, like I'll start.
Are
like,
we being funny or are we being serious?
Like I'll start. Like Adam.
It could be both. Yeah. It could be both.
Well, I already know.
Adam would write a vocabulary book. with his own words.
Adam's lexicon.
Adamisms.
Yeah, Adamisms.
You know, yeah. Library.
I would start my... What
inspiring.
Is, I would start my own Ebonics.
Yeah. Adambonics.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, fuck you. How about
I've wanted to write a book for a while, but I don't know quite what I'd want to write.
Probably write a book on fashion. That's what I think he would write a book on.
Boom.
Probably that.
Hey, man, I got my Chucks and my black socks on.
I would probably write one all about like my stories. Yeah, that'd be
fiction,
awful.
Sci-fi.
Actually, this is something that Doug has been harping on us for over a year now that we need to do. In fact, it's kind of in the formula for us to get rich, and we're just lazy about getting rich. We enjoyed talking,
really,
and
giving
free information out that we have no interest of getting rich anytime soon.
What kind of book would you write?
Well, seriousness?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to write a book about our whole story and everything. That's what we plan to do, right?
Yeah, at some point, but...
if I was going to write a personal one?
Yeah, any ideas that you guys have?
Yeah, I actually have talked about it before. I want to share my journey through the cannabis industry. Mm. I think that I've got some pretty crazy shit that I've been through. The only reason why I haven't, because I'm kind of afraid. I'm kind of afraid to share too much, because I think it could sell. I definitely think it could sell, because it was pretty wild, and I have a lot of things that happened, and I was part of the front end of that. You know, San Jose has like what, fucking 150, 200 of them suckers now, and you know, I was number three and number four, so there was only two before us. The laws where they're at now, we were nowhere near that. So when I was getting involved in it, it was like we literally were like the pioneers of it. So, you know, I was down at city hall meetings and battling with the city and with the government officials and, you know, lying to the city on what we were doing and our landlord and, you know, like every week wondering if we're going to get shut down and get raided, like all kinds of stuff like that. And then in the business is still going from this kind of gangster side to like this medical professional side. And, you know, I was a part of both ends of that and the merging of the two. So, yeah, I've thought about writing that, but, you know, I have a hard time spelling my name. So I don't think that's going to be.
Yeah, someone else write it for you.
Yeah, that's what I have to. Well, that's why we have to get rich first, and then I could pay for a ghostwriter, and then maybe I'll do that.
Well, I feel like this question is, you know, he was asking it because wants to know if, like, maybe we're collaborating together into a book, right?
Like a fitness book,
yeah, like fitness related wise.
Well, that's what I.
Isn't that how you read it?
Yeah,
I think that's what Doug wants, right?
Yeah, but I have an idea for a book that we could write that I think would be fucking excellent.
Oh wow!
I think we could write a fitness tell all book. I think we could talk about the ins and outs of the fitness industry from working in the industry, because of all the stories we've told on this show, there's about 10, you know, times as many stories that we couldn't tell.
Yeah.
What it's really like.
What the wizard really looks like behind the curtain.
The you know, like what it really means, you know, what it really looks like to sell memberships and produce revenue. What the companies really do, what the meetings are really like, the underbelly of the corporate fitness world. We got stories, and unfortunately, I think we probably hurt a lot of the people that we are still friends with because they still work in that industry. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of shit we could tell, man, that it'd be a tell-all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about, some of the stuff that we saw and did. And
well, one of the biggest...
I think that would be a great book.
I'll tell you one of the biggest mistakes
I think it's how we're going to make everybody else money doing what we're doing.
What do you mean?
In fitness.
How?
Like, we're going to tell them, we're going to give them... an idea.
Well, that's kind of like the story of Mind Pump.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. I think that in itself, because it'll provide value to people that are entrepreneurs.
That's what I think he's getting at from my perspective.
Oh, well, right. And the evolution of this, and we've mentioned this several times, I think, on the podcast of, you know, we're still far from done and where the direction where all this is going. We first have to finish all the programs and the maps and get that all out and get to ourselves with our app and da 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 and everything that needs to happen. Then we can start to, and we had to show everybody first too. Like, you can't just come out and teach people to make $1 million till you do it. So
yeah, it's interesting because the book is like, it still kind of holds this weird standard. Like, once you write a book, even though we've been doing all this stuff, like, but once you have the book, like, you can get on the tour, which the tour brings you on the daily talk shows with all these weirdos.
That's a good point.
You know, and then it's like, now you're on national television.
Well, and I think Doug knows that. That's why he's been bugging us about
it. Yeah, because it's like it's a formula.
Getting on Amazon. You know?
Even though we have all the information, like, over and over, and we've written most of it already out, we just haven't put it together in book format.
Well, you know, it's funny. There's a whole strategy that that people have when they write a book, and then the way that they categorize it on Amazon, it limits their competition, and then they can call themselves an Amazon top 5 bestseller. Mm-hmm. And then they put that on their business card or introduce themselves that way. And a couple of strategies they use. One is they give the book away for free, so they don't even sell the book. The whole purpose is to get as many books out there as possible so that they can rank high in this subcategory that they picked of, you know, like fitness business advice, you know, where you're only competing with 3 of the books.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can say, you know, hi, my name is Sal DiStefano, and I'm an Amazon bestseller.
Yeah.
And it's part of a strategy to build, authority.
Yeah. People want this, compartmentalized system. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, wow, this is the whatever diet zone.
But if we did whatever we did, if we did write a book, I would want it to have real value. I'd want it to be really something we're going to, you know, people are going to learn from.
Naked pictures, all that stuff would be in there.
Tell
for sure.
All, you know, Sal's weird, you know, bedroom stories.
It'd be a coloring book. Yeah.
Coloring book.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Dan Willie, do you ever have clients tag along or work in with you during your own time? Do you think that's a bad idea?
So he's asking about like having clients work out with you?
Yeah.
I have had many clients ask me to work out with me, and here's how I've handled that situation. If I'm friends with them, and we're cool, I will work out with them, but I don't charge them. I've seen trainers do this to where they work out with their client and their client's actually paying for that workout as a session.
Yeah.
For me personally, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel, I don't know. It doesn't feel professional. I almost feel like you're taking advantage of that hour because you get to get your workout in and your client's paying you to do it. And
100%.
You know, so is it a bad idea? No, it's cool. Work out with your clients. It's a lot of fun. I've done it many times, but don't charge them for that workout. It doesn't feel, it just doesn't seem right to me to be able to do that, you know?
So I don't at all. I can count on, although I shouldn't say at all, I can count on one hand in 15 years where I've worked out with a client.
Yeah,
and 100%. There's no way I would even think about charging.
That's what trainers would do.
That would be. I would lie to train. You would get fired if you worked for me and you did that. That's like unacceptable. So, and trainers were notorious for doing this for working out with clients. If I caught you charging a client and working out with them, I don't give a fuck if they said it was their best workout of their life. Like, uh-uh. Yeah. Like that's your job is to train them, not to work out. It's selfish. It's whether they like I said whether they asked for it or not. And say, oh, it's super motivating to work out with you. I get it. I get all the excuses and reasons. That's not your job. I don't do it for that exact reason too. I've for years, Katrina is probably the first girlfriend of mine that I, you know, her and I train 2 days out of the week. pretty consistently and have consistently for several years now, I wouldn't even work out with girlfriends. Like that's just, that's to me, that's so business for me that I try and separate that. I try and treat this like a doctor patient type relationship. And I don't like to cross those boundaries. And if I ever tried to train a girlfriend in the past and they would, you know, giggly and this and that, like I couldn't do it. It's like, I take this job so serious that I want to,
you got to have a bit of a wall there. I mean, like even, I mean, I could go even further with this where I've worked with people that have been attached to me that were working underneath me that were spending an excess amount of time with these clients. And I saw that red flags everywhere for me where that was going to go and what they were actually trying to do. They were the type of personality that were leeching. They were taking, you know, from, you know, these clients that I handed down just to get in and to get more friendly. And it was just like, it was weird. It was creepy. It's like, what are you doing? Let's keep it professional. Let's keep it in the gym. Like you're paying me here. This is what's happening. Let's all keep it as a business. And
here's the other thing too. Even if you do start working out with a client, let's say you train someone twice a week. Okay. So they're your client. You train them. They pay you twice a week. But you decide, hey, an extra day a week, let's just work out together. I'm not going to charge you. Me and you are going to work out and we're going to work out as friends. You've put yourself in a pretty tough situation now. What if you decide you don't want to work out with them after a couple months because you value your workouts and you don't want to work out with your client anymore. You still want to train them. Now you got to break up with them. Now you got to tell them like, listen, I don't want to work out with you anymore, but I'm still going to train you.
Yeah.
That client is likely going to fire you. They don't want to train with you anymore because you've hurt their feelings. You've made this kind of commitment. You've become workout partners.
Yeah.
So it's one of those lines you don't want to cross.
There's a ton of other scenarios just like the one you just gave that can happen and could happen and probably will happen. That's the reason why it's like, I know I didn't give a bunch of reasons why I don't.
Yeah.
But there are, and that's a great one right there. And it's just like this, like you start giving them that you want to hold to me, like training with me. I want you to value it. Like it is so special. Like it's you to get 1 hour of undivided attention from me that's why you pay top dollar. You pay top dollar because you get this excellent service. If I blend it and make it be like, oh, 2 days a week, I make you pay $150 an hour to see me. And then on Friday, we work out together. It devalues that $150 an hour session that you spend with me. And I don't want that to be murky at all. Like it's just cut and dry. Like if I'm giving advice, I'm training you and working you out, you're paying me and you're paying me what I'm worth. And we're not merging the two.
Yeah,
I think the only time I've actually even done that is when one of my clients came back that, you know, from school and I wasn't going to train him anymore, but like, you know, I knew his ability and he could hang in one of my workouts. I'm like, yeah, dude, let's do this. You know, let's hang out and work out, but it's just a hangout. It's not like I'm working them out. I'm getting a payment for that. Like at that point, it's just, he's a friend and we're working out.
Yeah. Well, you better be ready to accept if you're someone who's not going to take this advice and you're still going to go ahead and do it, then just be ready for that. Is that the likelihood that person's going to keep paying you. It's just like what happens when you sleep with a client.
Yep.
You think that client still keeps, that chick keeps paying you?
Yeah.
She paid you for 3 months because she wanted to fuck you. Then you fuck her. And then now she's not going to train. Now she's not going to pay you anymore. Why would I pay you? I'm sleeping with you and you're working me out. Like, why don't you just keep working me out? Like, that's what will happen.
The workouts just turn into sex.
And the same thing happens with someone that is non-sexual. I mean, that person who was paying you and was used to having to spend that kind of money to get your attention and your time when it comes to fitness now is getting a big chunk of that because they get to work out with you. And it's going to devalue your training. And the likelihood of that person still continuing to train with you and pay you has just diminished.
There's a certain level of professionalism that you need to maintain as a trainer. If you want to be a personal trainer for your career, if this is what you're going to always do and you want to grow your business, the biggest struggle I see for personal trainers is maintaining that level of professionalism because you train these people for years. You become close to them. You know their family. You become friends with them. But always maintain that certain level of professionalism where you're the trainer, they're your client, and you kind of got to keep that barrier. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself in some situations where there's going to be difficult situations where you're going to have to make decisions. You're going to have to tell them, hey, listen, I can't do this with you anymore. Or, hey, you know, it's time to renew, and they're going to tell you, oh, you know, I don't have the money, but you know what, I'll pay you next month, or, and then you're going to feel weird asking them to pay, or if they all of a sudden no show on you five times in a row, but they're your friend, and yeah, it's hard for you to tell them to pay for those sessions that they didn't show up for. Yep. And it fucks everything up.
Yeah.
And I've seen too many trainers who are very, very good at what they do screw up their business because they cross that line over with their clients to where it's just they're all friends.
It's not worth it if you're thinking long term.
It's hard to build your business that way. So, hey, listen, if you like Mind Pump, leave us a 5-star rating review on iTunes. If we like your review and we pick it, you'll win a free t-shirt. Also, check us out on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal, Adam at Mind Pump Adam, Justin at Mind Pump Justin, and Doug at Mind Pump Doug. And don't forget to go to mindpumpmedia.com.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.